John Gill, the ACFE's Vice President of Education, will be talking with Ryan Homa, a convicted fraudster who stole nearly $1.3 million from his employer over the course of more than 3 years.
It doesn't take any courage to steal, but it takes a lot of courage to stand in front of a room full of people and say, yes, I'm a thief and I did something wrong. So anyone who's willing to come up here and sit here and do that gets a lot of respect from me, because I have done a lot of these interviews, and every time I do, I learn so much about human beings and why they do the things that they do. And I think only by talking to people that are willing to share with us what was going through their mind, how it happened, how it was detected, that's the only way that we can understand how to prevent it and how to put the controls and the training in place to stop it. So Ryan, I thank you for coming. I met Ryan in prison. Well, Ryan was in prison. I was in Austin. Let me just clear that up right away. I had been corresponding with Nathan Mueller, who had spoken for us at another conference, and he was a friend of Ryan's, and he said, hey, you also need to talk to Ryan. So we had been emailing back and forth, and when he got out of prison, I flew to Green Bay, Wisconsin, and we did an interview. And I will have to say that he is one of the most honest fraudsters that I have interviewed. He was very straightforward, and I really appreciate that, because so many of them spend most of the time explaining, well, yes, I did it, but, and there's a long litany of, you know, why it really wasn't their fault. But Ryan, I think, is very honest when he says, well, here are the things that are going on. So let's get right into that. Start off with, just briefly, he started the fraud that he committed. He was working as the chief accountant for a $60 million a year manufacturing company, and over 3.5 years, he stole just under $1.3 million. And so he ultimately pleaded guilty, and he did serve about 22 months in federal prison. A little bit about your background. You're from, you lived in Green Bay. He was an accountant, CPA. What was your first real accounting job?
My first real accounting job was I had moved to the Twin Cities of Minnesota to actually seek my fame and fortune playing professional racquetball. You've never heard of me in racquetball, so you can tell how good I did there. I actually, the first job I ever had then was working at the corporate office of U.S. Bank, downtown Minneapolis. I was a general ledger reconciler for their remarketing department, which was the repossessions for U.S. Bank. They repossessed around 3,000 cars a month. And all those transactions went through one office, through three general ledgers in Minneapolis.
So we started to work at the manufacturing company. You were basically their accounting department, is that correct?
Yes, there were two other people that worked in accounts payable. One person worked in payroll, one person worked in accounts receivable, and I was essentially the accountant that took care of the day-to-day operations, month-end close, quarterly close, year-end close, and I was the liaison between the company and the bank and the creditors.
So how long had you been there when you committed the fraud?
5 months.
Okay. So what gave you the idea? Where did you see the opportunity to do this?
Originally, when I was working there, I was doing my best to be a good accountant, be a good employee. And I was doing a month-end reconciliation, and I noticed that we had a check that was made out in the system was made out to gibberish. I mean, there wasn't even a word. It was just letters on a check. And I thought that looked really weird. And I had requested a copy of the check from the bank. And when I got that, I went and found the paperwork in our file for the check. And what it turned out to be was that we had cut a legitimate check to one of our legitimate vendors. They had deposited it. It had cleared our bank with no problems. But the information that was in our system did not match the actual physical check. And my first task was, why is this? Why aren't these matching? And I went to my computer and I started playing around, and I discovered that there was a flaw in our accounting software. That when you went to cut a check, whether it was a accounts payable batch, payroll batch, or just an on-demand check, you would create the check and the program would say, would you like to print? And you'd of course say yes, and the check would print out. And then a prompt would come up and it would say, did the check print properly? And everyone just automatically hit yes. Well, I found out that if you hit no there, it brought you back to the previous screen and you could manipulate the check that you've already printed. And then after you manipulated the check or accidentally manipulated the check, you would hit save again and then post. So what I discovered was that you could create a completely legitimate check and then change the information in the computer to say something else. With that information, I promise you, I did not just immediately start rifling off checks to myself. Being the good employee at the time, I went to our IT people and I said, hey, I have a problem. Look at this. And everyone just kind of looked at me and went, yeah, so? And I said, no. I said, if we ever get audited or anyone ever comes in to ask about stuff, I said, the information always kind of needs to match. It's kind of an important thing in accounting. And the IT manager said, well, we can probably have them fix it, but it's going to cost money. I said, we'll find out how much. I said, once we find that out, we'll go talk to the owners. There were two owners at the company. So a day later, he comes back to me and he says, yep, they can fix the problem for like $3,000. So we go to the owners. I explain the issue with the owners. I explain what I was able to do. And they said, well, you know how to fix this, right? I said, no, I can't fix it. I said, IT has to fix it, $3,000. They said, oh, but if this happens again, you can explain it to somebody. I said, yeah, I guess. They said, well, we'd rather have that than $3,000 of money out the door, so we'll just leave it as is. I went, okay. No harm, no foul. Away I went. At this time, like I said, this is probably about 3 months into my tenure with the company. In hindsight, I discovered that I was not a good fit with this company. To be honest, I didn't like a lot of the people I was working with. I didn't like the overall atmosphere of the company. And again, not to say anything bad about the company, just I wasn't fitting in well there. But I had built up in my mind that, man, this is a really good company to work for. Financially, benefits, they did really take care of their employees. There were just a lot of things that I was seeing behind closed doors that I saw as a little two-faced. And a little of the, started getting the woe is me, that man, they're really doing this nice things to these other people, and I just keep getting yelled at every day. So I mean, there was a lot of self-sabotage. You know, I was convincing myself that I was being taken advantage of at the time. And it reached a point where I felt it was my turn. I know this week you hear a lot of terms, fraudster, misappropriation of funds, but our former recipient of the award said it perfectly. I made my decisions based on greed. I can give you 5, 6, 1700 reasons why I decided to use greed as that motivation, but it was greed. And it was self-serving. By no means am I any of these special terms like fraudster or embezzler. I mean, I'm just a straight-up thief. I took money that did not belong to me.
What was the impetus for taking or making the first check?
Well, the first check was my own stupidity in multiple facets. I had reconciled my own banking account at home, and I realized that I had spent our mortgage money on other things. Wasn't anything fun like a jet ski or that, but just kind of did a screw up and we spent more money than we had and the mortgage check was due. Boom, I know how I can get some money. I'll take this and I'll put it back next month. We all know how that goes. And the craziest thing is that, like I said, even though I didn't overall agree and like working there, they were very generous to their employees. Had I gone to either one of the owners or even the general manager and said, hey, I messed up, is there any way I can borrow money for a month or two to make my mortgage payment? They would have said, well, go talk to the accountant, you know, get a check and, you know, set up a payment plan. And I mean, it would have been easy peasy, lemon squeezy would have been done. And I probably wouldn't have been sitting here in front of all of you today.
Were there any, obviously they didn't elect to spend the $3,000 to fix the giant hole here, but were there any controls of any kind that were in place at the organization?
I would say overall we had very minor controls. You know, we had an outside CPA firm. There were reports I was supposed to give to various executives throughout the month. Month-end financials give straight to the owners. But A, I was in control of the controls. And B, some of the reports I was giving to some of the employees that worked there, general manager, assistant general manager, to be honest, I'm not sure they even knew what the reports were for. And if anyone were to come into my office and to start asking any specific questions on anything to do with accounting, I probably would have A, laughed, or B, had a heart attack, because I don't think these people had the proper background and knowledge. You know, they were manufacturing people. They knew how to make stuff and they made some of the coolest stuff in the world. But when it came to accounting for the numbers that went around with that, I'll be honest, I just don't think they had the knowledge to question anything. Then with our CPA firm, The company I worked for was extremely successful. I mean, and probably one of the leading companies in the Green Bay area. That they were kind of the big dog on the porch. You know, they got to pretty much tell the CPA firm, here's what we're going to allow you to do on our reviewed financials. They kind of had their pick of banks in the area of who was going to lend them money. And if any of the banks were ever to push back, well, you know, we'd really like to see audited financials, not reviewed financials. They kind of had the attitude, well, we'll just have to find us a bank that is going to be happy with reviewed financials. So again, there were controls in place, but at best, they were glanced at. And the people that were in charge of the controls, A, one was the thief, and the other people just kind of were just going with the status quo, like, oh, everything looks good, let's just keep moving forward.
In the first 6 months, how many checks do you think you cut, and for how much? Just to give us a sense.
The first 6 months I worked there, the first 6 months I was stealing.
The first 6 months after you started writing the checks to yourself.
Overall, not many. You know, maybe one a week, one every 2 weeks. They were always kind of weird, small amounts. I would kind of look in the system and kind of see like, hey, we cut a check for X number of dollars to this vendor. I would make the check close to that amount, so it would kind of get lost in the shuffle. But as time went on, the checks got more frequent, and the checks got to be greater amounts. And then it kind of almost became routine, where I cut my checks based off when we were doing accounts payable runs, so I could kind of slide the checks into larger batches. I got complacent and I got extremely lazy, and I think for the last two and a half years I was there, I made every check out for $9,812.54. And I've had the conversation with John. I will never, ever, ever forget that number as long as I live. Because when I got my report from the FBI, when they were charging me, there was like two pages and it was just $9,812.54. I mean, just one after another, and it was just like, in its totality, not that I didn't know it was serious and not that I didn't know I was going to go to prison and life was ruined, but it was just like, wow, does that look bad? How did no one else see this?
See, there's the first thing you can do when you get back to work on Monday. It's like, go through your vendors and see if you see, you know, 30 checks all made out for the same amount. So there you go. Were you ever worried that you were going to get caught?
Every day. Every single day. Every time one of the owners walked in my office, it was, oop, here it is. There were three levels. The first level was, oh my God, I hope I don't get caught. Level two was, I'm gonna get caught. And level three was, well, of course I'm gonna get caught, so why should I stop? Because they're gonna give me just as much prison time for 100 checks as they are for 50 checks. So it's that kind of self-defeating thought process that you convince yourself not to stop. And you see the benefits of the things around you as much as it's tearing you apart. I think one of the horror stories my ex-wife has is one work week I slept 6 hours. She would wake up, go to the bathroom, and I would be playing video games at 3 o'clock in the morning, and she's like, don't you have to get up to go to work in 2 hours? Yeah. And she'd wake up 2 hours later and I was still sitting there pounding Mountain Dew, drinking way too much alcohol, and playing video games and showering and going to work. And then finally, Thursday, Friday, finally hit, and I think I, you know, slept like 4 hours. And there was just, there were warning signs to me having an issue, but I don't think there were any real warning signs of what my specific issue was. The first aspect of my fraud, thievery, being a terrible person, was accidentally finding this little loophole in the computer system. The second aspect of my fraud was just 100% premeditated, this person should no longer be walking amongst good people in society. Because I sat there one day and I said, I can't do that anymore because it's too easy to get caught. But how can I do it where I don't get caught? And being the intuitive, smart guy that I am, I figured it out. The actually figuring out how to rip off the company the second time was sadly easier than how I did it the first time. And basically what I did was, I took a Excel spreadsheet and I created boxes on it. I grafted it all out. And I took a sheet of paper and I took one of our company checks and I scanned them together so I could see where the information on our company checks would line up with this Excel spreadsheet. And over the course of a day, I lined up the Excel spreadsheet that I could just then type this information on this Excel spreadsheet, put the check in the printer, and it was going to print off, and it was going to look perfect like one of our checks, and nothing in our accounting software was ever going to be touched. So then what I could do is once I had this live check in hand made out to my fake company, I could then do whatever I wanted to our system, and I wasn't adjusting anything. I was just creating a check at that point. So then there was no report other than the check register that I had cut a check and did anything bad.
Were all these payments to the same company? I think you said, or you told me in a previous interview, was you set up a shell company that was similar to the name of one of your real vendors.
Yes, we had a financing company out of California called Mac Funding, and they had really good rates, and we routinely would use them to finance new equipment purchases. So I started up a company, and I called it Mac Services. When I would then start cutting them checks, I would just make the checks out to Mac. I wouldn't say Mac Funding. And when I was cutting the checks to myself, I was cutting the checks to Mac. So if anyone were to ever question it, it would be like, oh yeah, that's our financing company out of California. And if anyone would ever ask, well, can I see the amortization schedules? You know, there's a schedule and there's the check you cut. How come the numbers don't match? That would have been, you know, lie number 27 I would have told that day, but I'm fairly confident I would have at that time figured out something to say to get another day or two of freedom. So they had fired me, and I'm 100% confident that the day they fired me, they had no idea that I was stealing any money, because why would you let that person walk out of the building without being escorted in handcuffs? So then I'm guessing they started looking at the information on the laptop, and then someone went, uh-oh. And 28 days later, that's when I went, uh-oh.
So just to finish the story quickly, he was sued civilly by the company, and then they went and they got the U.S. Attorney's Office to prosecute him, and so there was the jail sentence. And so we were, unless you think he's, you know, got off scot-free, he did not. He served 22 months in prison. He now has a civil judgment against him, has to pay back. He has a criminal restitution order, and now the IRS wants back taxes on the money that he stole from the company. So he's deeply in debt, let's say, but he's working to pay it off. And I know they want to know, what are you doing now?
I am a production manager for a little small screen print and embroidery shop. A friend of mine actually started the business about 20 years ago. And when everything was going on in 2011, I still needed to work. I went to him. He was the third person I told 100% truth to. The first person was Joanne, my ex-wife, and the second person was my first of three lawyers, and then my friend Bernie was the third one. And I just said, as long as you can handle me being around, I had known him at the time for about 15 years. I said, I just need a job. I said, I still need to be giving money to my kids. I am going to prison. Don't know how long it's going to be, but I need a job. And the first job I had after I was fired from Robinson Metal, I was the garbage taker outer and the floor sweeper, and I made $9.50 an hour. So I went from legitimately making $80,000 a year salary and then taking another average quarter of $1 million from my employer to a $9.50 an hour, and I'm not gonna lie to you, the first paycheck I got from him, ear-to-ear smile, because I knew it was like, hey, this is gonna really be terrible and it's my own fault, but there might be a glimmer of hope.